Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. What does life look like after 42 years as a medical doctor, 30 years of private practice, and 12 years as a medical director of a nonprofit medical clinic providing care for the poor and uninsured? Dr. Bob Hakala joins us to share his perspective and how Jesus Christ has brought fulfillment to his life of service to others. We pause at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life radio program is to bring you closer and closer, to lead you closer to Jesus Christ, to the one who knows you as he knows Dr. Hakala, the one who loves you so much he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. Today, the living Christ calls you to himself. And it's our question for you. Will you open your heart to Jesus and receive him as your Savior and Lord? Bob Hakala graduated from Willamette University in Salem, Oregon, and graduated from the University of Oregon Medical School with honors. Dr. Hakala was also named the outstanding intern in his class. Bob and his wife Carol have 3 children, Rob, Todd, and Molly, and 8 grandchildren. Bob, welcome to our show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Where did you grow up? I mentioned Salem, Oregon, but specifically where?
Well, I grew up in Portland. I went to college in Salem, but grew up in Portland.
What part of Portland, and what was that like?
In the southwest part of Portland, I went to Beaverton High School, and so it was a suburb of Portland.
Who influenced you most in your growing up years?
Well, I think my mom did to a certain extent. She really was very encouraged us to go to church and be involved in Sunday school growing up, and I did have a chance to go to several church camps when I was younger, and so that she had a profound influence. And then as I got older, other situations and people had influences in my life as well.
How did you become a Christian?
You know, I think I had a relationship with Christ as long as I can remember. I don't I didn't have an experience a lot of people have. In fact, I almost feel like, I'm sort of not envious, but I often think it's really wonderful when people sort of have that wonderful time when they accept Christ as an adult. But even as a youngster, I went to church and my Christian walk has always been important to me and ever since I can remember.
What convinced you, Bob, that medicine was the career path for you?
Well, it's kind of an interesting story. It was almost an epiphany, and I think God just put the pieces together for me. But it was my junior year in high school. We had an activity called Career Day, which I think a lot of high schools have, where we were asked, the junior students were asked to pick 3 professions or businesses they were interested in, and I picked law and engineering. And I couldn't figure out what the third choice was going to be, and I finally decided, well, I'll pick medicine. And it was at the time somewhat arbitrary, and I went and heard the lawyer speak and the engineer speak, and then went to hear a family doctor from Beaverton speak, and he said, I'm just going to tell you what I did yesterday. And he kind of chronologically went through the day, the things he did, and the kinds of patients that he saw, and how fulfilling it was. And I remember walking out of that room after hearing him, and I thought, that's what I'm going to do. And I never changed my mind. And when I went home that night and had dinner with my mom and dad, they asked how the day went. And I said, well, I know what I'm going to do. And so I really want to be a doctor. And it was just kind of an experience that even as an adult getting older all the time, I can still remember how excited I was and how right it seemed to go into medicine at that time.
When that physician spoke to your class and shared what he did throughout the day, what do you think it was, Bob, that captivated you?
Well, I think it was he was a family doctor, and I think he just kind of was loved his patients, and he had a strong doctor-patient relationship with the people he was taking care of. The science of medicine, what he did, interested me too. I was interested in science when I was in high school, but that wasn't the main thing. I think it was more seeing the passion that he exhibited when he gave his presentation that was really put the fire in my belly to do that. I wanted to do the same thing.
And what did your folks say when you told them what you wanted to do?
Well, I think moms, if they hear that their son wants to be a doctor, there's probably nothing they would rather hear, you know, in some ways, you know, and that's kind of the response I got. Whether they really believe that I would carry it out or not, but at that particular point in time, they were both very excited, and I think that it was a goal that was really worthy, and so I think they were excited and very supportive.
Now, did you know what it was going to take? Did you inquire? You know, what's the process? How long does it take?
That's a very good question. I don't remember him addressing that. I just when I went to college at Willamette, my first day, when they asked me what my major was going to be or my course of interest was, I put down pre-med, and I never varied from that. I was a biology major, but I don't think I had any idea when I started out what it was going to involve in terms of time and effort to reach the goal of becoming a physician.
Mm-hmm. How would you describe this, the difference, Bob, that Christ has made in your life? Looking back, a collective view, what would you say?
Well, I'm really humbled by that, and I've thought about that as I look back over my life from the time I was a little boy, how I could see God kind of directing me. You know, I grew up in a family that wasn't immune from difficulty, but church in Christ was very important. Growing up with two younger brothers, and then the experience that I described when I was in high school was very meaningful, and then where I went to college and the support I got from my advisors in college to go into medicine. And then when I got to medical school, it just seemed like that's where I belonged. And it was a dream come true. And my residency in family medicine was the same thing. And then where we live now, God, I think, put us in Central Oregon for a good reason. And the people that I've met and with our church and friends and my practice was so fulfilling. It's just God has just kind of directed me throughout my life, and it's very humbling, and I'm very I have a profound sense of gratitude.
You and Carol have three children.
We do.
Bob, Todd, and Molly. Share with us the unique circumstance of Molly.
Yeah, we had Carol and I had the two boys. And then we really talked a lot about having a third child and thought it would sure be wonderful to have a daughter. And so we decided to adopt a daughter, and were able to fortunately get a baby in the Portland area from an obstetrician who had delivered a child that was up for adoption. She has been an incredible blessing. She's also, I think, she's taught me more than I've ever taught her. Really, and I don't mean to be glib about that, but I really believe that she had some learning problems from the get-go and had attention deficit disorder, which was pretty profound when she was a little girl, which required medication and close medical follow-up, but she has, as she's grown older, she was married, had two kids. Unfortunately, she and her husband were divorced, and she lives with us. She's a tremendous help to us at home, and loves the Lord. She's got a childlike faith, which is just amazing, and it's very inspirational for my wife and I.
When you mention lessons learned, lessons that you learned from Molly, can you share maybe one or two of those lessons?
Well, one of the things that happened as a result of having a child with attention deficit disorder, I went to meetings and did a lot of reading and became one of the local resources in the medical community for referrals from schools and parents. And so I ended up seeing a lot of those kids who were having those kinds of behavioral problems and learning problems in school. So that was a real learning experience for me. The other thing that I really learned is the judgment thing, is that sometimes when you see a child acting out in a grocery store or something, it's easy to say, well, why doesn't the parent do something about that child? Well, we've been in those kind of difficult situations, and oftentimes it's the child who's acting out and the parent's doing the best they can. And so a lot of the judgment has evaporated for me, and just trying to look at her and looking at her, what she brings to the family, and she brings a lot, believe me. She's kind of, in many ways, the glue in our family. She's been just wonderful, and so I've learned a lot. She has taught me a lot.
Bob, when we come back, I'd like to maybe spend at least a few moments in the context of what you're sharing. I think it will be appropriate and very helpful, perhaps to someone who is listening who has a child or a grandchild with attention deficit disorder, or perhaps they have that and either haven't been diagnosed, or it could be a number of circumstances in this regard, but maybe to talk a little bit further on that, maybe a word to parents.
Sure.
And Dr. Bob Hakala sharing with us today, he talked about judgment on parents. Yeah, we see him in the grocery store, a child acting out, and we might not say anything, but we're thinking something. We're thinking things, and unless we're in that situation, it's hard to pass judgment. We shouldn't pass judgment. When we come back, more from Dr. Bob Hakala. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Waiowa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arunaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Dr. Bob and his wife Carol Hakala spent 2 years in the Army as a captain in the medical corps stationed in Memphis, Tennessee and Hampton, Virginia. After 2 years, the family moved back to Portland for his residency in family medicine at the University of Oregon Medical School. Today, he's retired and he shares with us, looking back, the insights, the lessons he's learned that the Lord has taught him. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here, Suzanne Maurer, my co-host, Dr. Bob Hakala. Hey, if you're tuning in right now, maybe caught the tail end of our last segment, and get this program in its entirety as a gift to you at thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can go ahead and pick it up there and share it with a family member or friend. Bob, going back, attention deficit disorder, a word to parents who may have gotten word about a possible diagnosis or that they should have their child tested. Some of the feelings may be mixed. What would you say to a parent today?
Yeah, I would just try to encourage the parent to first of all, you need if the teacher, who's one of the most objective evaluators of a child, because they'll have 30 kids in the classroom and they can see a couple of kids that are behaving in a way that is not consistent with what she wants to see or that she's concerned about, is the parents, first of all, shouldn't take offense. It's a relatively common problem. And the first thing that I would advise, if there is some concerns that have been verbalized by the teacher, is to have the child evaluated by a professional, by a physician, a pediatrician, or a family physician, someone who is experienced in caring for these kids. You know, I tell parents, you know, if a youngster who sits in a classroom and the teacher's writing on the blackboard, the noise in the hall, the birds outside the window, everything kind of has an equal value. And a youngster with ADH oftentimes can't discriminate, and so they have trouble focusing. And it's not the child's fault. It's just that it's a biological or medical problem that oftentimes can be helped. The thing the professional needs to do, the physician who sees the child needs to do, is make sure there's not an issue at home that's creating anxiety in the child that might be reflected in behavior issues, or whether or not they truly have a diagnosis of attentional deficit disorder. And if they do, there's treatment that's available, and sometimes it can be dramatic in terms of the response. It can sometimes go on into adolescence and into high school, and again, that's why it's so important to have a conscientious, informed medical provider who can kind of follow you along during this time and give you the support and advice that you need.
Bob, of the many patients you've cared for, are there one or two that stand out in your memory?
Well, there are, and they're kind of patients that I feel very close to and very as a family doctor, I can think of one instance. Occasionally I would have parents or a mother come in. She may or may not be married. It's recently found out she's pregnant and comes to me as her family doctor and wants a referral for an abortion. And it's a difficult issue. And I would sit down with the mom-to-be and go over her alternatives of keeping the baby. Adoption was an issue. And really try to delve into the history as to who, if there's somebody who's pushing her into this decision or whether it's something that she comes up with. And I can remember, and then what I do is I would visit with them and then have them come back in a week or two, and we would visit again, and I'd sort of see where they were and how they'd process what I had talked with them about. And I had one mother come back in, or one lady come back in and say that she's decided to keep the baby. She was getting a lot of pressure from the father. They weren't married. And the thing I remember is that after she delivered the baby, she brought the baby into the office and showed the baby to me, and she was just absolutely beaming. Mm. She was so thrilled with the decision she made, and also very grateful that we had the good conversations we'd had. And it was really... It's just a memory that I'll never forget. I just felt so good about that.
How did you balance the demands of a physician with family life?
Well, it wasn't always easy. There were lots of times when the boys and Molly would have a ball game or some school activity at 5:30 or 6, and I'd be in the office seeing patients, and I'd get a couple of calls about people that needed to be seen, and I'd be seeing patients, and I'd be late to their activity, and I tried to be as diligent as I could so I didn't miss those kind of things because they're so important, and I put a high value on supporting the kids and what their activities were and wanted to support them, but sometimes I found myself really somewhat conflicted. My wife was really good about waiting dinner for me, and so she would have the kids do the homework before I got home, and oftentimes it might be 7 or 8 in the evening when I would get home. We'd always have dinner together, which was really important. And then I tried to do things like backpacking trips with the kids and fishing, playing tennis, shooting hoops with them outside. And Molly and I would always have something I think is great, and it's not there's an author, I think whose last name was Shedd. I think it's Charles Shedd, who had a wonderful book on being a dad, who talked about having a date with your daughter. And so one of the ways I could connect with Molly was that we would go out on a date night, and it would just be her and me, and we'd go out and have dinner, and she could always pick the restaurant, and we would go out and have dinner and have a good conversation and come home, and to make her feel special too.
Mm. Oh, Danny, can I jump in here and say what a wonderful thing to share with our listeners. If more dads could take hold of that, that's so important.
Yeah. It's when you have several children to try to, you know, it's easy to sort of treat them as a group, so to speak, and they each have their individual need. And as a parent, as a dad, you need to spend quality time with them individually, depending on what their interests are. And it's so important. But that was one of the things I found with Molly, that she and I, and she, we still talk about it and have good memories about those times together.
Suzanne, as a woman, and of course you have multiple perspectives as a woman, as a girl, as a mother, as a grandmother. When Bob speaks specifically about dad and daughter, Bob and Molly, why does that stand out so much to you?
Well, you know, I think it's a true statement that you're daddy's little girl, and daddy is just an absolute hero to many little girls, maybe not most, but many. And a son and a dad have a wonderful relationship, but a very different relationship. And sometimes you hear about the mom, you know, spoiling the son and a special mom-son relationship, but just the thought of a dad taking his little girl on a date is almost magical to a little girl. And my Roland did the same thing. We only had one daughter and three boys, so in many ways she got the special treatment with that daddy-daughter date relationship. I really encourage it.
And Bob, it sounds like, just in the way that you've described today, there remains that special bond that you have with Molly.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Yep, absolutely. Yeah, we're just, she's very special to me. Thank you. Yeah.
A word to a father, a father of a daughter specifically, or daughters, maybe more than one girl. A word from your heart to theirs.
Well, you know, I think as a dad, I think one of the things that I think is very important is to love their mom, you know, model a good marriage and an affectionate marriage to your kids so they see that in you as a dad, and where you can talk things over. There may be an issue, maybe a dispute, but you're able to talk things over where they can see how things get resolved in a good way. So I think modeling that is really helpful. For dads with daughters, I think it's important to identify what, don't try to pigeonhole the youngster. Let them find their interests, and then what they're interested in, support them, and go to their ball games, go to their concerts, go to their recitals, go to their plays, whatever they are interested in. Participate in that, and don't try to force them or push them in a direction that they're not inclined to go, because it can create problems.
You're listening to Dr. Bob Hakala. When we come back, we'll talk more about, well, we'll talk about family, of course, but more specifically, special time in his life. I'm speaking specifically about the Washington Family Camp. It was called the Big Muddy. We'll talk with Bob. He'll explain what the Big Muddy was, what it means to him, and what it means to young people today. And you're listening to Dr. Bob. Bob is able to share heart-to-heart on some very tender issues, family, relationships. And he'll share more when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiahua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiahua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Dr. Bob Hakala was named the Outstanding Family Physician for the state of Oregon by the American Academy of Family Physicians in 2003. We're privileged to have him with us today, sharing in this very tender moment with you. You can find out more about this program and the other resources that we have available for you at thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Bob, it was once known as the Big Muddy. I think today it is known as the Family Washington Camp. I know God used you in a special way with that. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, Young Life has a very strong presence in Central Oregon. And one day I was reading the local newspaper, and one of the feature front page articles said that the Young Life, or the camp, or the area, which previously was inhabited by the Bhagwan and an Eastern mystical religious group, sold the property to Young Life. And Washington is the name because it was a couple that had really supported and endorsed the whole move. But anyway, I read the article, and I told my wife, I said, Carol, if there's any opportunity I can that would work out for me, I would love to be of some help. I'd like to volunteer, whatever. I'm not sure what role I could play, but I love the Young Life Ministry, and it's exciting that that property is going to be used by Young Life for kids. And so, as the Lord would have it, the next day I got a phone call from a pediatrician in Salem, who said, "Bob, I'm the chairman of the new Young Life Camp's Medical Advisory Committee, and your name was given to me. Would you be willing to serve on the committee?" And I said, "Absolutely." And I shared with him kind of what had happened the night before, and felt God's hand was really in this. So I served as the on that committee for several years, and we had a dispensary or infirmary on the camp called Doc Holliday's, which I thought was pretty interesting. And we staffed it with the medications we needed. And I was the first physician volunteer, the first camp that opened for kids. And I've got lots of stories about that camp, but I can still remember one that we carried walkie-talkies, and just before that first camp started, there was someone who mentioned, "Would someone please get the rattlesnake off the bridge? We've got campers arriving." So I thought that was, so we were out in the boondocks. It was a pretty rural environment, but it was beautiful. And Young Life really did a terrific job in terms of the facilities and things that they built. But so I volunteered as a physician up there, seeing kids and working in the infirmary, and really enjoyed it, and tried to participate in as many activities as I could, and took care of kids, and it was just a wonderful experience.
Thank you.
What is it about young people that has kept you energized, Bob?
Well, I think their enthusiasm, they're oftentimes just very natural and very open with their opinions, and some of them aren't particularly good, but you can talk to them about it and sort of work through problem issues with them. They have a lot of energy, and I think that particularly at the Young Life Camp, seeing the kids worship and raising their hands and singing, and the number of kids that came to Christ through that ministry was just wonderful. I get goosebumps when I think about it, how fun it was just to be part of that whole environment.
Bob, were you involved with Young Life in high school?
You know, I went to a few Young Life meetings, but I wasn't actively involved, and I've often thought about that. We had a very active church group, high school church group, and that's kind of where I spend most of my time in that kind of environment. But Beaverton High School, where I went to high school, had a strong Young Life group.
Well, he brought you full circle.
He did. Yeah, yeah, he did. That's it.
So, Bob, 42 years as a medical doctor, 30 years of private practice, and 12 years as a medical director of a nonprofit medical clinic, helping the uninsured. In what ways did the nonprofit clinic serve the poor and uninsured? How did that work?
Well, we had tremendous community support, and we had a staff, and I can't tell you exactly how many. Maybe there was a dozen people. We had a executive director. I was a full-time medical director for a while, and then was a co-medical director for a while. And we went into the community, and physicians were asked and would volunteer to work in the clinic. So most of the medical care that was offered was in the clinic was on a volunteer basis, and then when we referred patients out, if someone needed to have an operation or if they needed to be in the hospital, we got great support from the hospital, St. Charles Hospital in Bend. They would provide hospital care at no cost to our patients. The specialists that we referred the patients to generally did not charge our patients either, with rare exceptions. They would, but overwhelming majority would do it on a pro bono basis. So it was an amazing environment. I often had thought about going overseas and doing some ministry overseas or missionary kind of medical missionary kind of work. But with Young Life and with volunteers in medicine, there was just a lot of things that are in my own backyard that I could do. And I think that's probably true for a lot of medical providers. If you look around and see what the needs are, they're right in your own backyard. You can go overseas, and that's wonderful. And I support people that go to do that, but there's also things you can do at home.
How have you and Carol developed a growing relationship for so many years? How long have you been married, Bob?
We've been married 54 years.
Okay, and, so for over half a century. How did you do that?
Well, we met at the end of our freshman year. I went to Willamette, and Carol went to the University of Oregon, and we met and dated, and it became quite apparent pretty soon that we were very serious about each other, and Carol transferred to Willamette, went to school her junior year, and then we were engaged before we started our senior year in college, and she was a French major and had to go back to the University of Oregon to get a degree in education because we knew that she would need to work when I was going to medical school to provide an income for us. And so when she and I both graduated, she from the University of Oregon and I from Willamette the same year, she was able to get a very good teaching job in the Portland area and was a huge help, to say the least, in financially. I think that's, you know, that kind of goes back a long ways. And as we've gotten older, she has a deep faith. She's involved in a women's Bible study group, and as always, we've always walked side by side in terms of our faith walk, and that's been huge because our values are the same, and tried to rear the kids in a Christian home, and it just made it work out really well.
Bob, I'd like to ask some wisdom, insight here, because so Carol worked, helped send you to medical school, supported the family.
Yes.
And then you become a physician. You're able to support the family as a doctor.
Yes.
Sometimes I hear that that same scenario happens, but when more resources come in and a person's career, let's say a man's career, begins to reach higher levels, they become vulnerable. And the wife who saw them through, gave some of the best years of her life, he begins to stray. He begins to wander. And I don't want to let 54 years in your experience go by without touching on the level of faithfulness that you've had, because somebody might be struggling in that area right now, either a husband or a wife, in a situation that's tearing them apart.
Yeah, I've seen that happen with physician divorces, and as physicians mature in their practice and economically become more secure, that can happen. And oftentimes marriage is kind of unraveled at that point. I think that communication is huge, and you've got to be able to sit down and talk over things. And it sounds kind of simplistic, but it's so important if there's a problem in your marriage, you're able to sit down and hash it out. And sometimes there'll be a difference of opinion, but respecting your spouse's opinion is really important. But talking it over so that each partner sort of knows where the other person's coming from and the reason that they feel the way they do, is just important. And then I think it's important for a husband to court his wife, too. I think I talked about our daughter having a date night. Carol and I tried to get out on a regular basis, maybe one night a week, go out for dinner, go to a movie, just to be alone together. And it really generated great talk time. So I think it's important to kind of keep the romance in the marriage. That's just a very important part of the marriage as well.
Danny, could I just jump in real quickly and say, too, having known Bob and Carol most of my life, they viewed marriage as a team. And I just think that mutual respect for each other, open communication, and I think that makes all the difference, to have that team attitude.
No, I think you're absolutely right. Yeah. It's, well, you know, and it's, and I don't want to sugarcoat it. I mean, there are times when there are issues come up where you may have differences of opinion, but I think to value to hear each other out and not try to force your will on somebody else, but talk things over. And usually if you're both able to talk things out, the solution becomes pretty obvious what you should do. It's sort of an inevitable consequence of good communication.
Well, I treasure your words. I treasure the wisdom that you share from experience, Bob, and you too, Suzanne. I'm so grateful for you. When we come back in our final segment, Bob, typically I ask our guests, you know, how has the Lord helped them through some difficult times, some difficult transitions, and perhaps if you could scan through your experiences, maybe you could share something with us, and maybe a favorite scripture verse that you have. More from Dr. Bob Hakala when we come back. As you can tell, you know, a lot of this we can't really plan in terms of how a conversation is going. I think that's part of the liveliness and then the vitality of our time together, and our time together with you, because the Lord knows exactly what you're going through too. And I suppose something that Bob has shared today in our interaction, the Lord is using right now, customized, to speak to your heart. There's more when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Waiowa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Dr. Bob Hakala has a heart for young people, has worked with young people for many years at the Washington Family Camp, the Big Muddy. By the way, Bob, where did the Big Muddy, how did that name come about?
Well, it could get pretty muddy. It's a huge area. It's a beautiful area, but the name I'm not sure. But I assume it probably happened when it rained in the lower areas. It'd get pretty muddy. But that's a guess.
Well, there are times in our lives when things get pretty muddy or murky themselves. How has the Lord helped you, Bob, through, let's say, difficult transitions that you've had to face?
Well, I think prayer is huge, and just praying for the Holy Spirit to guide and direct you is just means everything. And but our family has been blessed, but we've had cancer. My wife has had two different cancers. I've had cancer, and it's kind of supporting. You draw closer as you support each other in those kinds of situations, and try to understand what the person's going through, and trying to do the little things to make their life a little better and let them know they're not alone as they're walking through this. You know, sitting with my wife when she got her chemotherapy and was huge for her, and she's just been wonderful to me, and as I've kind of gone through the cancer, fortunately we're both at this point doing pretty well. I can remember I was involved in a men's Bible study, and I still am, with the same group of guys, but my wife was not involved in the women's Bible study, and I was just really on fire in my Christian walk, and I wanted desperately to have Carol have the same experience. I can remember was at the beach with my brother, and I was talking with Don, my brother, and just sharing with him how much I wanted Carol to have the same experience. We prayed about it, and you know, here and continue to pray, and here now, many years later, she's been leading a Bible study for 15 years, and I think we underestimate the power of prayer, and so that was a real blessing, and kind of got through a potentially difficult, you know, issue, but it all worked out in spades, so it was really good.
How long, you mentioned this group of guys that you were with, how long have you been meeting with them?
You know, with the, I've been in a Bible study for, well, since 1976. It's an interesting story, and when I talked to my brother-in-law, Bill Ritchie, who's a pastor, he's now retired in Vancouver, and told Bill, I said, you know, I've been a Christian for years, but I said, I really haven't spent much time in the Bible, and I'd really like to get involved in a Bible study or be able to sit down with somebody who could help me understand what I'm reading a little better. And he gave me the name of a real good friend, Chuck Austin in Bend. So give him a call. He'll be of help to you. And so I called him, and we met and had breakfast and kind of compared our lives. And at that time, I was doing a lot of running. He was a ex-Oregon football player, was the captain of the Oregon football team back in the 50s, and was a little bit overweight and out of shape. And he said, well, do you mind if I start running with you? So he and I started running together, and that soon evolved into a Thursday morning Bible study. We started in the book of John and walked word by word through John, and we would go to McDonald's and get an egg. We trade off getting egg McMuffins and coffee and orange juice and bring it. Just the two of us met. Pretty soon, another guy joined us, and it gradually grew to about six men. And the group I'm with right now is actually an offspring of that. Chuck passed away about 15 years ago, but we developed a deep, loving, wonderful friendship. And I remember coming home one day and telling my wife, I said, Chuck knows so much. I'm learning so much from him. He's so good. I later found out he had gone to Dallas Theological Seminary and had graduated from there and decided to take his ministry into the business arena rather than a church. And so I was just a lucky recipient of his friendship and just getting together and meeting with him. But the Bible study we've got now, which is probably about 15 guys, is really in many ways an offshoot of that original twosome that started back in 1976. So it's been going on for quite a while. And it is so important. I mean, I can't tell you how important it is for a group of guys who are transparent, praying for each other, and reading the Word together and getting interpretations and how it applies to life. It's just, if there's, for fellows that are listening to this broadcast who are not involved in a Bible study, I would encourage you to find a group or start a group, because it's just, you'll never regret it. It's just wonderful.
It sort of reminds me of Suzanne's son, Darren Mahler. What he's doing in Texas,
yes,
with business leaders and being a Dallas seminary grad.
Danny, I have to share with you that Bob Hakala is Darren's godfather.
Yep.
We go all the way back to Darren's birth.
We go back a long ways, don't we, Suzanne? That's right.
Yeah, so that's really fun.
I remember when he was a little guy. Yeah, yep. That's right. Yeah. You asked for a Bible verse, and I'm going to share one with you because I carried it in my wallet, and I would refer to it a couple times a week, because a physician, oftentimes you run into difficult situations and you'd sometimes feel a little bit inadequate or a little bit anxious. And that's the Philippians 4:6 Bible verse, which says, do not be anxious about anything, but with prayer, petition, and thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And I bet I've said that prayer hundreds of times. It just meant everything to me, but I really hung on to that, and it's just meant so much to me when I'd go into a room that, where there might be a conflict between a couple, or I had to deliver some tough news, that I could pray that prayer and feel like when I went to that room, I was not alone, that the Holy Spirit was with me. So
what would you say? In light of that verse and in light of the application of that verse in your life, Bob, what would you say to someone going through a tough time right now? Maybe they have just heard of the news of cancer. Maybe just heard about a financial calamity, something unexpected, or a health issue. What would you say, Bob?
You know, I think, first of all, realizing that no one's immune from any of these problems, that it's universal. There's not probably one person that doesn't have some issue sometime in their life that is really a difficult situation for them. But the first thing is to pray and just to get down on your knees or just ask God for guidance and direction. And sometimes you don't have the solution, but God does, and He can help you. He can give you the peace that you need. And the other thing is to get professional help from somebody who can guide you through and walk with you through the time. But I think from a Christian or from a spiritual standpoint, being in the Word and reading scripture that pertains to your problem. If it's an anxiety issue, there's issues that relate to that. If it's a death issue, or if it's that there are lots of verses that can give you strength and support you.
Could you lead in a prayer, Bob?
Pardon me?
For that dear person? Could you lead in a prayer for that dear person right now who's listening and who's heard what you've just said?
Yeah, Lord, we know there are people that have struggles and they don't know what to do. You do, and you've got the answers. You can provide the support. You can provide the peace. You can provide the comfort, and you can provide answers. And I just pray that for that person that is struggling against something that just seems overwhelming right now, that they would look to you for counsel and for peace, knowing that you are the great healer and you can provide all that they need. And sometimes the problem continues, but you have God, you have Christ that said, look, I'll walk with you through this. You're not alone. And you're not alone if you have Jesus. And just pray that you would feel His presence in a very real way. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Bob, the grace that God has given you, I'd like for you to be my doctor, too.
Well, thank you. Sort of a long distance.
I kind of pray
online deal.
I kind of pray you don't need a doctor, Danny.
Yeah, I do, too. My goodness.
Touching words from Dr. Bob Hakala. Bob, thank you so much.
Well, it's been a really privilege for me to share, and thank you for what you're doing. It's just it's wonderful, and I just continue to pray for you, it's wonderful. So thank you for asking me to participate.
Dear friend, you know, God's timing is indeed perfect, and there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, I believe this is a perfect moment to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Would you do that? Go to thegoodlifehoy.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your prayers and financial support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehoy.com and click Partners. And I want to thank you in advance. Proverbs 17:22, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Dr. Bob Hakala. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Nelson, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.
Just leave it to me. I'll leave.